You're in a classroom, listening to someone self-important, dignified and ponderous, but dull, wearing a tweed jacket, white shirt, polka dot tie, pontificating for 2 hours on the theories of history. You're too paralyzed by boredom to understand what on earth he's talking about. But you hear the names of big guns: Hegel, Fichte, Marx, Proudhon, Plato, Herodotus, Ibn Khaldun, Toynbee, Spengler, Michelet, Carr, Bloch, Fukuyama, Shmukuyama, Chukuyama. He seems deep and knowledgeable, making sure that no attention lapse will make you forget that his approach is post-Marxist, post-dialectical, or post-something, whatever that means. Then you realize that a large part of what he is saying reposes on a simple optical illusion. But this won't make a difference. He's so invested in it that if you questioned his method, he'd react by throwing even more names at you. It's so easy to avoid looking at the cemetery while concocting historical theories. But this isn't just a problem with history. It's a problem with the way we construct samples and gather evidence in every domain. We shall call this distortion a bias, i.e., the difference between what you see and what's there. By bias, I mean a systematic error consistently showing a more positive or negative effect from the phenomenon, like a scale that unfailingly shows you a few pounds heavier or lighter than your true weight, or a video camera that adds a few sizes to your waistline. This bias has been rediscovered here and there throughout the past century across disciplines, often to be rapidly forgotten, like Cicero's insight. As drowned worshippers don't write histories of their experiences, it's better to be alive for that, so it is with the losers in history, whether people or ideas. Remarkably, historians and other scholars in the humanities who need to understand silent evidence the most don't seem to have a name for it, and I looked hard. As for journalists, forget about it. They're industrial producers of the distortion. The term bias also indicates the condition's potentially quantifiable nature. You may be able to calculate the distortion and to correct for it by taking into account both the dead and the living, instead of only the living. Silent evidence is what events use to conceal their own randomness, particularly the black swan type of randomness. Sir Francis Bacon is an interesting and endearing fellow in many respects. He harbored a deep-seated, skeptical, non-academic, anti-dogmatic, and obsessively empirical nature, which, to someone skeptical, non-academic, anti-dogmatic, and obsessively empirical, like this author, is a quality almost impossible to find in the thinking business. Anyone can be skeptical. Any scientist can be overly empirical. It is the rigor coming from the combination of skepticism and empiricism that's hard to come by. The problem is that his empiricism wanted us to confirm, not disconfirm. Thus, he introduced the problem of confirmation, that beastly corroboration that generates the black swan.